In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Except that's not actually what Jesus says. He says, "Ego I me, the one who speaks to you." Long before, when Moses stood near the flaming tree, he asked, "When the people want to know your name, what shall I tell them?" And from the tree, God said to Moses, "Ego I me, I am who I am." These are the very words that Jesus says to this Samaritan woman. He not only tells her that she is speaking with the Messiah, he also says to her what he once said to Moses, "Ego I me, I am who I am." John alone records for us this strange happening. The same God who revealed himself to Moses, veiled in the fiery tree, now reveals himself to this woman, veiled in human flesh. While the fiery tree fills Moses with wonder and awe, the weary human body beside the well doesn't do much for the Samaritan woman. In fact, when Jesus asks her for a drink, she doesn't give him one, ever. Instead, she gives him a hard time. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" In the first place, Jews and Samaritans don't do each other any favors. In the second place, strange men don't talk to strange women and ask them for favors. Now, for his part, Jesus seems oblivious to all these rules, but Miss Samaritan seems happy enough to give him a lesson in manners. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him for a drink, and he would have given you living water." In other words, if you knew the grace of God, and if you knew that you were speaking to God, you would ask him for a drink, and he would satisfy your thirst with the waters of eternal life. But of course, the woman doesn't know who she is speaking with, nor does she understand what he is saying. So she gives him yet another sharp-tongued response. "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Little does she know she is talking to one who is greater than Jacob. In fact, she's talking to the one who wrestled with Jacob and put out his hip. She's talking to the one who changed Jacob's name to Israel. She's talking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there he is, seated now beside Jacob's well. One of the very first wells mentioned in Scripture involved Jacob's grandparents, Grandpa Abraham and Grandma Sarah. Sarah cast Hagar into the wilderness, and she and her firstborn, Ishmael, were going to die in that wilderness of thirst. But if you remember, unexpectedly, God has mercy on Hagar and her son, and he opens Hagar's eyes to see a nearby well. And so a well becomes the site where God shows unexpected mercy to an outcast woman. And now Jesus sits at the well of Abraham's grandson and shows unexpected mercy to another outcast woman. John tells us more about this well of Jacob, namely that it was near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. So Joseph also drank from this well. And if you remember, Joseph was also thrown into an empty well by his brothers. And afterward, they sprinkled blood on his many-colored coats so that his father Jacob would think that his beloved son had died. Little does this Samaritan woman know just how intimately Jesus knows this Jacob and his family, this well, and all the other wells around which their story unfolds. In Jacob's well, there's only earthly water. So Jesus says to the woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman's response shows that still she doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. "Sir, give me this water so I won't thirst, so I don't have to keep coming back to this well every day. That would be convenient." Jesus is met with a woman who thinks she understands, but she doesn't. And this is where it gets personal for the woman and for us. Being who he is, Jesus knows this woman just as he knows each one of us. In fact, this is an amazing thing to reflect on. Jesus knows us deeper than we know ourselves. He knows how deeply this woman thirsts, even if she doesn't. He knows how this woman attempts to quench her thirst, even if she doesn't know that's what she's trying to do. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five, and the one you're now with is not your husband. So what you have said is true," kind of. How is this woman trying to quench her thirst? She's trying to quench her thirst with the love of a man, a husband. And one man after another has failed to quench her thirst. Perhaps she's been satisfied for a time, but in the end, not one of them could pour out enough love, enough attention, or quench her deepest thirsts of heart and soul. So she's gone through men like water. How many divorces occur because man and woman seek to quench their thirst with one another? The idea of soulmates and our own ideas of what a marriage should be like feed into the belief that a man's deepest thirst can be quenched by his wife, and a woman's deepest thirst can be quenched by her husband. The question, "Are you happy in your marriage?" is a veiled way of asking if your husband or wife is satisfying all the thirsts of your heart and soul. And the only answer to that question is some variation of kinda, sometimes, or no. Because the thirsts of your heart and soul can never be fully quenched by any human being. Instead, often what you have is two people squeezing every drop from the other, and in the end, neither is satisfied. Perhaps like the Samaritan woman, you're looking to another human being to quench your thirst. Spouse, sibling, close friend. Perhaps it's some hope you've been sipping away at. The right job or project or accomplishment. The perfect house, or a certain kind of future for your kids, health, happiness, retirement. Or maybe you're more the direct kind, and maybe you've tried to slake your soul's thirst with alcohol, with food or drink, shopping, pornography, or even some hobby. But no sooner than you've drank your fill, you're thirsty again. To our not-so-Puritan friend, Miss Samaritan, and to us, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking to you, you would ask him for a drink, and he would give you living water. Our Lord knows you deeper than you know yourself. He knows how you thirst, and he knows that he is the only one who can quench your thirst. If you know the gift of God and the one speaking to you, you know the one who shows mercy to the outcast, opening the eyes of Hagar to see the well through which he would save her. He opens your eyes to the well of the baptismal font through which he saves you. If you know the gift of God and the one who is speaking to you, you know that he is your brother Joseph, cast into the empty well by your hands, cast into the empty tomb by your sins, but rising to give you not what you deserve, but his forgiveness and his mercy in full. To your sin-parched lips, he places his cup. Into your famished-stricken hands, he places his food. And he wraps your sin-ravaged body with his coat, stained with his own atoning blood. If you know the gift of God and the one who is speaking to you, you know that just as Moses struck the rock instead of those people, the law has struck your rock instead of you. In his body, he has borne the blow that you deserve. And from his smitten flesh and pierced side flows water and blood. Water that washes away your idolatry and adultery. Blood that blots out even your most shameful sins. If you know the gift of God and the one who speaks to you, then listen this day to his holy absolution as he forgives you all your sins. And let your ears, your heart, and your soul drink in his words until your very soul is content. Indeed, until the joy of his salvation is like a spring of water welling up within you to eternal life. If you know the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you, then when your flesh tries once again to quench its sinful thirst, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful to you. Go back to Jesus and drink once again of him. For you do know the gift of God, and you do know the one who speaks to you. He calls you to this altar this day to quench your thirst. And here he makes himself known to you once again. Ego I me, I am who I am. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.